cuff.
Okay, good morning. Let's start the meeting for Build NYC Corporation. The first item is the minutes of the April 26, 2022 meeting. Any questions? Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes? If none, do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions, recusals? Motion passes. The next item is the interim financial statements, which will be presented by Carol Ann Butler.
Thank you. Good morning. So we're doing Build, correct? Okay. Oh, IDA. All right. The month of April was successfully closed, and we're communicating to the board the following financial activities. The agency recognized fees, project finance fees from 10 closing transactions totaling $1.1 million. Other revenues derived from compliance, application, post-closing, and termination fees amounted to $1.5 million. Under the category of expenses, $3.7 million was recognized, consisting primarily of the monthly management fee. And lastly, under the special, under the special projects, the agency incurred approximately $510,000, largely consisting of the Life Science NYC cyber project costs. Thank you, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thanks, Caroline. And just to be clear, we are beginning with the IDA meeting. So next item on the agenda, tab 3, Annual Contract and Public Authorities Reform Act, which will be presented by Emily Marcus.
Thank you, Andrew. Good morning, everybody. We're asking the board to approve the annual contract between the NYC IDA and the NYC EDC for fiscal year 23. Under the contract, EDC provides services to the IDA, such as project management, compliance, legal, and accounting. No changes have been made to the contract, and the contract value is set at $4.4 million, which is the same value as last year. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions on the annual contract? Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions, recusals? The motion passes. Emily Marcus will be presenting the next five items required by the Public Authorities Reform Act. Votes will be taken at the conclusion of Emily's presentation.
Thank you. Another quick item. Every year, we're required by the Public Authorities Reform Act to ask the board to reapprove various corporate policies. No material changes have been made to any of the policies in the previous year. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Do I have any questions? Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions, recusals? The motion passes. We'll move on to tab 9. Say it again. Okay, we'll move on to tab 9, board self-evaluation, which will be presented by Noah Schumer.
Thank you, Andrew, and good morning to the board. So we're introducing our annual board member surveys today. The surveys are required by the Public Authorities Reform Act, but they're also just genuinely really helpful for us to solicit feedback from the board on our performance and how well board members feel they understand and are in line with our mission. And this is, you know, particularly important to us this year when we have some new members who have joined within the last few months. The questions in the survey are in the board book, and they've been reviewed and approved by the Governance Committee and are quite similar to last year, but with a few small tweaks. We would just say that we had an 80% participation rate last year and would really hope to get to 100% this year, so we'll be sending out multiple reminders, I would imagine. And in terms of the timeline, the survey link will be sent out via SurveyMonkey tomorrow. The deadline will be a couple weeks after the July board meeting, and then we'll be collecting the responses and presenting them to the board for discussion at the September 20th meeting. And I will pass things over briefly to Betty from the Governance Committee for a comment.
Thank you, Noah. I encourage everyone to respond, and also not just to the questions, but there's a box for comments so that if anything is not covered, you can insert your comments. The governance committee is also available if anyone has questions or want to discuss any of the questions. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Noah. The next item on the agenda is Tab 10, Global Wood Distributors, which will be presented by Greg Coleman.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Today, I am presenting to the board an inducement and authorizing resolution for an NYC IDA transaction on behalf of Global Wood Distributors, a New York S corporation. Global Wood Distributors was founded in 2002 in the Sunset Park neighborhood of Brooklyn. Global Wood serves as an importer and distributor of wood and architectural panels and components that fulfills the material preferences of clients and suppliers from around the world. The company serves clients throughout the five boroughs, Long Island, and New Jersey. The project is located at 4425 through 4429 First Avenue in the Sunset Park neighborhood of Brooklyn. The company is seeking financial assistance in connection with the acquisition, renovation, furnishing, and equipping of a 15,000 square foot building on an approximately 15,000 square foot parcel of land next door to their current facility. The renovations will include the construction of an office and showroom, removal of columns and interior walls, roof and flooring rehabilitation, replacing roll-up doors and facade work. The project will allow the company to stabilize facility-related expenses and provide a permanent location for the business. The total cost of the project is approximately $10.6 million. The company will finance the project with a commercial loan of approximately $6.1 million and approximately $4.4 million in equity. The financial assistance proposed to be conferred by the agency will consist of payments in lieu of city real property taxes, a partial exemption from city and state mortgage recording taxes, and an exemption from city and state sales and use taxes. The project will preserve 8 full-time equivalent jobs and will allow the company to create an additional 6 full-time equivalent jobs. Employees will receive an average wage of $43.82 per hour. Benefits will include health care, vacation time, holidays, and on-the-job training. At this time, we request that the board adopts a secret determination of no significant environmental impacts and approves an inducement and authorizing resolution for the benefit of the company. I'm happy to take any questions from the board. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. Any questions?
Greg, would you
James
say
from
that...
the mono...
Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead, please.
No, please.
James Prendamano here. Greg, in evaluating the deal, love the percentages in equity. Just curious, from a material perspective, sourcing, have we looked at where materials are being sourced, considering some of the supply chain issues that are being experienced, and if there's some contingencies in place here in the event some of the materials are being sourced from places that are experiencing delays and challenges? Have we taken a good look there?
Yeah. So to answer the first part about the location, about 30% of Global Wood's products come from domestic natural suppliers, so U.S.-based such as Arauco and Columbia Forest products. Additionally, internationally, they get wood from Canada, Vietnam, Colombia, and Spain. And to address the disruptions, they actually began to increase their purchasing in advance of the pandemic, and they've also used that to further strengthen their relationships, which has put them in a position that they believe to allow for strong inventory and consistent continued ability to deliver, especially in the event of unforeseen headwinds.
Okay, and confirms that some of those materials are not being sourced or were not being sourced from difficult places now that are experiencing challenges. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you.
Greg, this is Nate Bliss. Just wanted to confirm that this project and the proposed use is consistent broadly with our broader objectives in Sunset Park in the industrial area for promoting businesses such as this.
Yes. So, is it, this project is in an industrial zone? And once more, this is going to be a project that will allow for the company to further expand while also allowing them to, you know, bring on new employees who are going to be trained to continue this business going forward and ideally strengthen the Sunset Park neighborhood.
Thank you, Greg. And I'll also add, Nate, that they're currently in the neighborhood, so it's just an expansion.
Thank you. Great. Any additional questions? Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Motion made. Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions or recusals? Motion passes. We'll move on to tab 11, St. Anne's Meat, which will be presented by Christine Robinson.
Thank you, Andrew. Good morning, everyone. Today I'm presenting to the board an inducement and authorizing resolution for a fresh transaction on behalf of St. Anne's Meat Corp., a New York limited liability company. St. Anne's Meat Corp. is a supermarket operator founded in 2022 for the purpose of supporting the Mott Haven community with the development and retention of a shop for a supermarket. The company's owner has a strong track record for success and owns and operates five supermarkets serving economically impacted communities located in the Bronx, Manhattan, and Queens. The supermarket has been modeled after its affiliates and is the first to receive fresh benefits. Next slide. The project is located in the Mott Haven neighborhood of the Bronx within a qualified census tract. The company is seeking financial assistance in connection with the renovation, furnishing, and equipping of a 14,999-square-foot retail condominium located on the ground floor of a new 10-story building on a 24,146-square-foot parcel of land. The supermarket is one of the anchor tenants in the mixed-use building and the only condominium to receive IDA benefits, although the developer of the building did receive fresh zoning benefits. The supermarket's design and layout of the retail space also complies with our fresh program requirements. It is anticipated that the supermarket will begin operations by Q4 2022. Next slide. The total cost of the project is approximately $2,750,000. It is anticipated that the project will be financed with a commercial loan in the amount of approximately $1,500,000 and $1,252,000 in company equity. The commercial loan will have a final maturity of 5 years with an interest rate of approximately 6.25%. The financial assistance proposed to be conferred by the agency will consist of payments in lieu of city real property taxes and exemption from city and state sales and use taxes for the supermarket space. Next slide. The project will create 44 full-time equivalent jobs, of which 39 jobs are full-time, an additional 10 will be considered part-time employees. Employees will receive an average wage of $19.84 per hour, and the company plans to offer job training and education reimbursement. Next slide. After a review of the company's application, we recommend that the board adopt the CEQA determination that the project will have no significant adverse environmental impacts, and we also request that the board approve an authorizing an inducement resolution for the benefit of the company. Thank you, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Christine. Any questions?
Christine, can you just remind us the status of construction of this project, how close it is to occupancy?
I don't believe they've started construction as yet. They have retained a contractor.
I guess I meant the broader building in which the...
Oh, the building is fully developed.
Yeah. Thank you.
Fully constructed.
Any additional questions? I have a motion. Second?
Second.
All in
second.
Favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions or recusals? Motion passes. We'll move on to tab 12, DMFYD LIC, which will be presented by Brandon Baylor.
Good morning, all. Good morning, all. I am presenting a request on behalf of DMFYD LIC LLC for an extension of their 80% lease-up requirement. Next slide, please. The facility is located at 903 44th Road in Long Island City. Next slide. In December 2017, the IDA closed on a straight lease transaction for the construction and development of an approximately 86,000 square foot facility. The developer must lease out the facility to industrial and commercial office tenants. Next slide. The company had COVID-related construction delays, which impacted leasing activities. We previously extended the construction completion deadline due to the delay, but did not extend the requirement that the company lease 80% of its facility by December 29, 2021. They are currently leasing the facility to 10 tenants, with about 55% of the facility leased. They are currently working with Cushman & Wakefield to mark the facility, and 10 prospective tenants are touring the facility this month. The project company is confident it can meet the extended deadline due to the limited availability and high demand for industrial and commercial office space in Long Island City. Next slide. In light of the foregoing, staff seeks board approval of the post-closing resolution to authorize and execute amendments to the project documents necessary to extend the 80% lease-up requirement from December 29, 2021 to June 1, 2023. No new benefits will be provided in connection with this request. Thank you, and I'll be happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Brandon.
Thank you, Brandon. Any questions? Do you have a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions or recusals? Motion passes. We'll move on to tab 13, Madeline Chocolate Novelties, which will be presented by Marissa Innes.
Good morning. I am presenting a request on behalf of Madeline Chocolate Novelties, Inc. for a post-closing amendment resolution. Next slide, please. Madeline Chocolate Novelties, Inc. is located in the Rockaway Beach neighborhood of Queens. Next slide, please. On February 11, 1997, the agency entered into an agreement with Madeline Chocolate for the acquisition of land and construction of a building to be used for the manufacturing of chocolate novelties. On July 23, 2015, the agency entered into an amended and restated agreement with the company to assist with the acquisition and installation of replacement equipment damaged by Hurricane Sandy for the facility. This agreement also extended the company's pilot benefits until 2028. Also in 2015, the company received a grant from NYC's SBS's federally funded Hurricane Sandy Business Loan and Grant Program. Next slide, please. The 2015 amendment provided the company with the ability to earn employment growth benefits structured as credits against its pilot obligations. To earn these credits, the company must maintain an annual average of 223 employees between June 30, 2018 and June 30, 2028. The company earns a pilot credit for each annual period between 2019 and 2027 if they maintain 223 employees. Madeline is also eligible to earn additional pilot credits from each employee in their annual average above 223. Next slide, please. Impacts from the COVID-19 pandemic forced the company to limit the number of people who could work together to comply with COVID regulations and mandates. Also, supply chain disruptions continue to strain the company's operational expenses. This has impacted their ability to obtain and maintain employment. Unfortunately, Madeline was unable to meet the threshold for FY 2021 and only had an annual average employment number of 177. The company does not anticipate meeting the required threshold again for FY 2022. Next slide, please. Madeline has requested a reduction in the required threshold to 177 jobs, which represents a 42% reduction of the original growth commitment. This will avoid the triggering of the recapture event likely to take place as a result of the failures to meet the 223 annual average employment threshold for the annual period ending June 30th, 2022. Staff is requesting that in return, their threshold pilot credit be reduced by 42%. With the ability to earn back the reduced pilot credit on a per employee basis for each employee reported in the company's annual average between 178 and 223. Staff is also requesting the extension of the employment covenant for an additional 2 years as consideration for the reduction of the employment threshold. The company has also requested consent to sell a vacant building, which is a part of the project facility, to assist in paying down its substantial debt. The sale of this building is not expected to have an impact on employment, as it has not been used by the company since at least 2016. Next slide, please. In light of the foregoing, staff is seeking approval for the post-closing amending resolution to lower the company's required growth-based employment number from 223 to 177, to reduce the baseline credit, pilot credit provided by the company as described in this presentation and in the executive summary, to extend the requirement for the company to maintain their growth-based employment number by additional 2 years, and to consent to the sale of a vacant building located at 97-01 Beach Channel Drive. Thank you, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Thanks, Marissa. Any questions?
I have a question. This is Francesco. What I don't understand about this deal is the fact that it's justified based on temporary issues like the supply chain disruptions, but it's a permanent reduction on our requirements on the business. So and they're going to sell the vacant building. So those two things do not seem consistent to me. It either was too big to begin with. I don't understand what the temporary conditions have to do with the permanent reduction of our requirements.
So if I'm understanding your question correctly, there's a disconnect with the supply change disruptions and why we are requesting to permanently reduce their employment number, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So we are requesting to lower the employment threshold on a continual basis because we believe that the current number, not in just relation to temporary disruptions, but generally speaking and going forward, the company will not be able to meet the 223 employment number. Also, we feel confident and we'll say okay with making this reduction because the company initially asked to reduce the employment number, but then we as staff included within this request to also reduce the pilot credits that they're receiving. So there's a give and take.
Yes, Francesco, I think while I understand your point, and I think that while COVID and supply chain disruptions triggered, the decrease in employment annually based on conversations we've been having with the company, it seems like they don't expect to scale back up to their pre-COVID levels and that this disruption will temporarily cause permanent changes to their business scale and operations.
Okay, so just to make sure, what is the benefit to the city of doing this, to maintain the employment, the 177?
Correct.
Okay.
Thank you.
So a couple of questions. Pre-COVID, were they making the 223 number consistently?
Yes.
Okay. And as a lack of employment, is it because of the restrictions or because they are unable to hire or find employees to fill those positions, or like what's the?
So there has been a couple things. Like you said, the restrictions preventing them from scaling, allowing them from having X amount of employees at one time. Then, yes, they were having issues getting new employees. As many may know, a lot of employers have been having trouble getting employees since the COVID-19 pandemic.
Can you confirm the status of the SBS grant component? I know that's not in front of this board, but that had certain employment requirements as well.
Exactly the same as ours.
So it also will be amended?
Yes, exactly.
Any additional questions?
And just if you could walk us through how long have you been negotiating this particular workout situation with this employer?
This particular workout, a couple months.
Okay.
And this employer? Do they hire a lot of employees locally? So does that
the majority of their employees are local from the Rockaway Beach area neighborhood, and they also have a lot of employees that have been there for decades.
Hi, this is Shin Mitsugi from Compliance Officer Nate. So negotiation happened last few months, but we have been constantly contacting Maryland. I remember on the onset of the pandemic, I had a two-hour conversation with the owners of the businesses about the struggle, but they paid the pilot. We continue to monitor the company's operations and employment, and in general speaking, company has been standing with the agency requirements, and we feel that this is the important employer in Rockaway. Rather than hitting with a hammer, we wanted to work out. We want to make sure the company can pull up operation to the pre-pandemic level, and then we think this amendment will help the company to do that. And Chanel, your question to the employment, as Maurice said, it is difficult to find workers. Having said that, company has sort of group of local residents who have worked with the factory for many years. I think the, one of the intentions of the company to rehire those individuals back into the operations with the help of the IDA. But also, this is something that SBS is heavily involved with, not only the grant, but also local hiring. So as an agency, we want to work with small business services to make sure that company take advantage of local hiring programs and assistance available through the city programs.
Thank you. That's very helpful.
Thank you. Excellent questions. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All
second.
In favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions or recusals? Motion passes. We'll move on to tab 14, New York PropTech Piloting Program, which will be presented by Nicholas Krauss.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Nicholas Krauss, and I'm a senior project manager at the Initiatives Department at EDC. I'm speaking with you today about our PropTech Piloting Program, which will launch 10 to 15 innovative property technology pilots on public real estate assets across the five boroughs, and will provide up to 30 New Yorkers from disadvantaged backgrounds with the opportunity to build technical skills and obtain an entry point into a PropTech or government career. Next slide. So really quickly, to collectively ground us here, what is property technology or PropTech? It's a set of typically software-based technologies that are transforming the way we own, operate, and manage real estate, from sensors that predict equipment breakdown to smart HVAC systems that lower energy usage. PropTech really has the power to modernize our infrastructure and achieve some key city objectives. Next slide. To contextualize this even further, here are a few quick examples of property technology companies, a few of which have actually piloted on in the city before. So there's N-Cycle, which is a smart heating and air conditioning system with wireless controls that reduce a building's energy usage. Enerdiv is a predictive maintenance software that preempts equipment breakdowns to lower repair costs in buildings. And finally, Carbon Lighthouse tracks the building's energy usage and identifies ways for owners to lower their carbon emissions and thus increase their building NOI or income. Next slide. So unfortunately, despite its really powerful potential here in New York City, the sector faces pressing equity challenges, and its benefits are generally limited to well-capitalized Class A real estate, as opposed to Class B and C real estate, which includes the city's real estate, public real estate, and all of the tenants that depend on it. Furthermore, the sector faces similar challenges to the broader tech sector. There is limited sector diversity and limited access for BIPOC and women founders. Next slide. And so for these reasons, the New York City Economic Development Corporation and our asset management team here, together with asset management partners at the New York City Department of Citywide Administrative Services, or DCAS, and the New York City Housing Authority, or NYCHA, have come together to launch this program. This program will launch property technology pilots on city real estate, encouraging the sector to focus on the needs of non-luxury real estate, especially the city's vast portfolio of Class B and C assets and all of the tenants that depend on them. And to do so, or actually zooming out a little bit, here are some goals of the program listed as well. We're hoping to implement real estate technology solutions that enhance sustainability, increase health and safety, and improve operational performance on city-owned and managed assets alongside other key objectives. In addition, we will work to provide meaningful experiential workforce development opportunities to diverse New Yorkers from diverse geographies, backgrounds across the city, from the City University of New York, or CUNY, and also New York City Housing Authority residents. And finally, we're hoping to bring the benefits of PropTech to underserved assets and communities, thus helping bridge the digital divide. Next slide. So how will we do this? The program is operating in two phases. Today, we are contemplating the second phase of the program. In phase one, we are actively working right now with JLL Technologies, who EDC selected via competitive procurement in 2021. JLL Technologies is right now spending time with asset management teams at EDC, DCAS, and NYCHA to understand the key issues that their assets and tenants face. JLL has spent over 40 hours interviewing asset management personnel to get deep into the heart of issues each portfolio is facing. It has not yet identified specific pilots, but instead has figured out a set of challenges and issues that assets are facing. And this summer, it will begin recommending innovative PropTech pilots to the city to test on their assets. The city will then, at its sole discretion, decide which property technology solutions to implement. And once pilots are selected, the next phase of the project kicks in, which we're discussing today. In this phase, asset management personnel will work with TRC Engineers, Inc. to formally design the pilots, select sites for pilot deployment across the five boroughs, and implement pilots on city assets. The TRC group will also organize internships for students and residents in New York City from diverse backgrounds to help track pilot results and produce final reports. Fellows will make an average of $20 an hour and gain really meaningful workforce development opportunities. They'll be selected in conjunction with asset management teams at EDC, DCAS, and NYCHA, as well as with support from workforce development teams at the City University of New York and NYCHA's Section 3 workforce program. Next slide. So really quickly, just to talk through some of our timeline here, that first phase is active right now. Asset management teams are working with JLL to identify exciting, promising startups to test on city assets. That will continue through early fall, and then once pilots are selected, starting in September, October of this year, the asset management teams will work with PRC Engineer Inc. To deploy pilots, identify pilot sites, design them, and that process will then be repeated until approximately 10 to 15 pilots are launched and 25 to 30 interns are deployed on pilots for the next 2 years. Next slide. So just quickly, some expected outcomes here. Like I said, 10 to 15 innovative pilots are expected to be launched, 25 to 30 fellows. We're expecting successful pilots to then be, you know, potentially deployed across the city. And we're hoping that the pilot or the program helps the city develop a strong, repeatable process to implement pilots, scale innovative solutions, and leverage innovation to address some challenges. Next slide. And so thus, we are, we'll start working this fall with PRC Engineers, Inc. to perform the entire scope of services, some of which are listed here and I've already described. They will work on scoping, siting, and planning pilots, deploying them, and also coordinating and implementing the workforce development program. Next slide. And thus, accordingly, we are requesting authorization of the execution and delivery by the agency of a $500,000 services contract with NYC EDC on the terms and for the purposes described herein. Thank you for your time, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Nicholas. Any questions?
How, I know in coordination with government entities and working with CUNY, but the interns, and fellows chosen. I'm trying to see the coordination between the internship program and the longer-term workforce development for NYCHA residents.
Yeah, so we've been coordinating with NYCHA's Section 3 workforce team. They're really excited about this program, and so they're going to be a partner helping us identify potential residents who might want this sort of experiential workforce opportunity, liaising between the technology and government sectors. So TRC actually is a subcontractor with excellent experience implementing workforce programs called SolarOne. And so SolarOne will work with the asset management teams and NYCHA's Section 3 teams to help find residents for whom this would be a really good fit. And then it will staff them on pilots, giving them this experiential opportunity to monitor and evaluate pilot results and draft the final pilot report.
Do we have any idea how many jobs that will create in the long run or possibly?
So within the scope of the program, it's expected to be 25 to 30 fellowships, but what we're hoping is that this is a really meaningful opportunity for these CUNY students and NYCHA residents to add to resumes and build inroads either into the PropTech sector or into government at the nexus of government and innovation, because they'll be making connections throughout the program with both the tech companies, the government partners, and the implementation partners.
Got it. So the interns and fellows can be chosen from the NYCHA. Okay.
Yes.
Any additional questions? Do I have a motion?
So
second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions or recusals? Motion passes. This concludes the Board of Directors meetings for the New York City Industrial Development Agency. Do I hear a motion to adjourn the meeting?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Aye. Motion passes. We will now open up the Board of Directors meetings for Build NYC Resource Corporation. The first item is the minutes of the April 26, 2022 meeting. Do you have any questions, any additions, corrections to the minutes? Do I have a motion? Approval?
So moved.
Okay, second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, abstentions, or recusals? Motion passes. The next item is the interim financial statements, which will be presented by Carol Ann Butler.
Thank you, Andrew. I'm presenting the Build financials as of April 30th, 2022. The following financial activities occurred in the 10-month period. In the category of revenues, the agency closed on 8 transactions, recognizing $2.1 million in project finance fees. Other revenues derived from application compliance, post-closing, and other fees amounted to $276,000. And lastly, $1.9 million in expenditures were recorded, which mostly consists of the EDC management fee and public hearing expenses. Thank you, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Carol Ann. Next item on the agenda is Tab 3, Annual Contract and Public Authorities Reform Act, which will be presented by Emily Marcus.
Thank you, Andrew. Again, we're asking the board to approve the annual contract between EDC and Build NYC. Similar to the IDA contract, there have been no changes to the contract, and the contract value is set at the same amount as last year, which is equal to $2.2 million for EDC management services. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions on the annual contract? Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Abstentions or recusals? Motion passes. Emily Marcus will be presenting the next 5 items required by the Public Authorities Reform Act. We'll then vote at the conclusion of Emily's presentation for all 5 items.
Thank you. And again, very quickly, these are the same policies that the board approved for the IDA, and no material changes have been made to any of the policies since last year's adoption. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions or recusals? Motion passes. We'll move on to Tab 9, Board Self-Evaluation, will be presented by Noah Schumer.
Thank you. And again, essentially the same survey as for IDA. We're, you know, again, really hoping to get to 100% response rate. Survey will be sent out tomorrow and will be due at the beginning of August. And Betty, if you have any additional comments to make. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Noah. Next item on the agenda is Tab 10,
GSNY Properties, which will be presented by Christine Robinson.
Thank you. Good morning again. Today I'm presenting for board review and adoption a proposal for tax-exempt and taxable notes for the benefit of GSNY Properties, Inc. GSNY Properties, Inc. was formed for the sole purpose of supporting and benefiting the Gates Blaise School of New York. Founded in 1955 as an independent special education day school, the Gateway School serves approximately 150 students in kindergarten through eighth grade. Their mission is to transform the lives of students with language-based learning disabilities and attention deficits by focusing on fostering growth, not only academically, but socially and emotionally. Its small school settings and experience in multidisciplinary staff with a 3-to-1 student-to-teacher ratio ensures that students receive the individualized support they need to succeed. Next slide. The project is located at 211 West 61st Street in Manhattan's Upper West Side. The corporation is seeking approximately $18 million in tax-exempt and taxable notes to refund the $14,050,000 outstanding principal amount of Build NYC tax-exempt revenue bonds Series 2012A issued in the original principal amount of $16,425,000 to refinance prior bonds issued by the IDA. Two, to refinance a portion of a separate mortgage loan of the borrower, the proceeds of which bonds and loans financed or refinanced the acquisition, renovation, and equipping of 11 condominium units comprising 39,000 square feet at the project location. Three, to refund the $420,000 outstanding principal amount of the Build NYC taxable revenue bonds, Series 2012B, issued in the original principal amount of $500,000 to refinance an additional portion of the mortgage loan. And lastly, to pay for costs related to the issuance of the notes. The project will allow access to lower cost financing, which will enable them to realize debt serving savings, debt service savings from their 2012 bonds. Next slide. First Republic Bank will serve as a direct purchaser of the notes. The notes will be issued as tax-exempt and taxable and will have an anticipated maturity of 17 and 10 years, respectively. The notes will be secured by a first mortgage on the 11 project condominium units and a guarantee from the school. Based on the analysis of financial statements, there is an expected debt service coverage ratio of 2.8 times. Next slide. GSN Properties, Inc. is requesting a waiver from Section 7 of the Build NYC private school policy, which requires that private schools with maximum tuition greater than the Build NYC tuition threshold, which is currently $16,150, meet certain financial aid requirements. The corporation's private school policy provides that the board may approve a waiver of Section 7 of the policy in the case of higher tuition rates for special needs students due to higher expenses to serve such students. The highly specialized nature of education and the low student-to-teacher ratio, 3-to-1, means that the student tuition of $69,500 per year, which is in line with other independent schools in our area that serve students with language-based learning disabilities, is justified. Virtually, the vast majority of families are successful at securing tuition funding, usually by settling with the New York City Department of Education through the Individuals with Disability Education Act, or IDEA, which gives parents the rights to obtain funding for special education if their local school district fails to offer their child an appropriate public school program. So based on our review of the project, we recommend that the board approve the waiver of only Section 7 of the Build NYC Resource Corporation private school policy, adopts the CEQA determination of no significant environmental impact, and improves an authorizing resolution for the benefit of GSNY Properties, Inc. Thank you, and now I'll turn it over to our Finance Committee for their comments and recommendations.
Hi, it's Barry Dinnerstein. The Finance Committee reviewed this project. The debt service coverage ratio for this group is pretty good. It's a longstanding institution serving special needs students, and we recommend to the board that it adopt this deal.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions?
Yeah. This is Francesco again. Just so that I understand. So this guy, you know, took a loan, and now they're asking for a refinancing to lower their debt service costs at the same time where we are, as I understood correctly, we are allowing them to go to raise their tuition above the normal limits?
The nature of his curriculum and their students makes it necessary for them to charge their tuition rate. We impose the policy overall in our public, like our charter school policy, that the tuition of $16,000 is necessary to.
I can jump in, Francesco. So we don't have any requirements or restrictions as to what private schools can charge for tuition. But as one of the components of our private school policy through Build NYC, there is a scholarship and financial aid requirement for private schools that do charge more than the Build NYC tuition maximum, which is roughly $16,000. So in this situation, because the majority, if not 100% of parents paying tuition do receive reimbursement through the IDEA process, there isn't a strong need for financial aid or scholarships. So the historical precedent of special needs schools seeking financing from Build NYC has to been to request a waiver of this portion of the private school policy, but to keep in place the other portions of the private school policy, one of which includes a higher fee that the agency charges at the time of closing.
I think I have a question about the condo units, which it's quite unclear to me what these condo units are. But before we get there, what is the benefit of this transaction other than lowering their operating costs?
Yeah, the benefit of the transaction is helping a not-for-profit in the city dedicate more of its financial resources into education and academic programming rather than paying debt service on outstanding bonds.
But the city pays with the current cases the entirety of their tuition.
Correct. The city, through the IDEA process, reimburses parents for tuition payments.
So again, I'm going to ask, what is the benefit of doing this?
I think it's the same benefit. I do believe it's important to, you know, follow the mission of Build NYC, which is to help not-for-profits that are, you know, strong performing not-for-profits seek lower cost financing through the Build NYC program. So I do believe that supporting this project is in line with the general Build NYC mission. But we definitely understand your point. It is unusual, and we don't see many projects with this specific request. The majority of our schools that we provide financing for do not serve students with special needs, so don't have these special considerations.
I mean, the point of the tax-exempt financing is to let the federal government pay for something, and so I'm not quite sure what's the counterfactual, right? If we allow them, right, so we already allow them to, you know, the federal government to step in and pay for that service, right, for that tax exemption, essentially. So, you know, what are we getting more by extending this? Are we avoiding tuitions to go even higher so that our current case cost is going to go even higher? Has that analysis been performed, I guess?
Yeah, I don't have anything, I guess, more specific to add. We don't believe that this will change the tuition structure. It's just allowing them to spend less money annually on financial costs and put more money into programming.
And sorry to bother everybody, just another second. The condo units, the 11 condo units?
Correct. So the facility, when they purchased it using previously issued bonds through the IDA, was broken into multiple condo units because it's a commercial building, but they are currently occupying and using all of the condo units in the facility.
And will they continue occupying those condo units?
Correct. So no changes are contemplated to that.
Additional questions? Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions or recusals? Motion. Francesco, did I hear you?
Yep.
Motion passes. We'll move on to tab 11, Oak Point Hub, which will be presented by Noah Schumer.
Thank you. So I'll now present for board review and adoption the issuance of tax-exempt and taxable notes for the benefit of Oak Point Hub, LLC, a New York limited liability company, the sole member of which is New York Common Pantry, Inc., a New York not-for-profit corporation. New York Common Pantry, or NYCP, was founded in 1980 and has since grown into one of the largest food pantries in New York City, providing over 7 million meals for low-income and homeless people per year. NYCP's mission is to reduce hunger and promote dignity, health, and self-sufficiency for all New Yorkers. NYCP addresses food insecurity through its food pantry and meal distribution programs and addresses the underlying causes of food insecurity through case management concentrated on providing access to public benefits. And in the most recent calendar year, NYCP helped New Yorkers access over $7 million in public benefits through its work. Next slide, please. The project is located at 1285 Oak Point Avenue, the site of a warehouse facility in the Hunts Point neighborhood of the Bronx that New York Common Pantry first leased in 2021 with an option to purchase and is now also in the process of renovating. The applicant is seeking approximately $8.5 million in tax-exempt and taxable notes issued through Build NYC, and proceeds from the notes will be used as part of a plan of finance to, one, finance the acquisition of the aforementioned 23,000-square-foot warehouse located on a 20,000-square-foot parcel of land, again, at 1285 Oak Point Avenue in Hunts Point, and to pay for the costs related to the issuance of the notes. The facility will be owned by the borrower and operated by NYCP as a warehouse and office space to support its mobile food pantry operations, senior nutrition program operations, and to receive, store, and distribute goods to food pantries located in East Harlem and the Bronx. The acquisition will allow the organization to move out of two smaller leased warehouse facilities. The new facility has high ceilings and the ability for trucks to drive into the warehouse, which will increase overall efficiencies and provide needed space for recent and future program growth. And the building will also include administrative space and space for volunteers who are integral to the organization's operations. The notes are expected to be sold as a direct purchase by First Republic Bank or to First Republic Bank, and it's anticipated that the notes will be sold in two series, a tax-exempt series that will comprise the large majority of the issuance and a taxable series to help cover closing costs if needed. The final maturity for both series will be 30 years, with interest and principal payments due monthly, following a two-year interest-only period. The interest rate on the tax-exempt series will be fixed at 2.5%, and the interest rate on the taxable series will be fixed at 3.1%. It's anticipated that the notes will be secured by a first mortgage lien on the facility, and by a pledge and security interest in the assets and revenues of NYCP. And based on analysis of NYCP's financial statements, there's an expected debt service coverage ratio of 3.8 times. Based on our review of the project, we recommend that the board adopts a SECRA determination of no significant environmental impacts and approves an authorizing resolution for the benefit of the applicant. And I will hand things over to the Finance Committee for their comments.
Thank you, Noah. This is Anthony Delvecchio. The Finance Committee reviewed this project and was comfortable with the financials of the school. The project and the debt service coverage ratio here. On behalf of the Finance Committee, I recommend approval of the project.
Thank you both. Any questions?
I was wondering, is this the first food pantry facility that has come before Build?
I can't say of all time, but certainly recently, yes, I believe so.
Thank you. Great project.
Thanks.
Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions or recusals? Motion passes. This concludes the Board of Directors meetings for Build NYC Resource Corporation. Do I hear a motion to adjourn the meeting?
So moved.
Second? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Thank you all. See you again next time.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.